Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Thanks for listening and subscribing to DIY for Business. It's Russ and Greg with you. Greg, how's it going?
It's going good. I'm a little sore. I went out and I kind of overdid my pickleballing. As you know, I've been trying to play more pickleball.
Right. I'm going to a pickleball court later today. I didn't tell you that before. We chatted before. I didn't want to say this. I'm not going to play, but I'm going to go check it out because my son is playing soccer at a field and there's pickleball right next to it. So I figured I'd go check that out while he's warming up for soccer and whatnot. So I'm going to actually see a game today, potentially.
You will be hooked. And here's the thing about pickleball. Everybody can play. Like all ages. Mm-hmm.
Well, you've been playing with your niece, right?
I play with my niece, yeah. And, you know, generational thing. We play mixed doubles together and we have a great time. It's really bonded us. Her sister plays sometimes. Her mother plays with us sometimes. We're playing against kids. We're playing against 70-year-olds that are really, really good at pickleball. I mean, these guys must never leave the court. I mean, they must be there 24/7 because anytime I go to those courts, they're there. I'm like, holy cow, do you ever eat? Do you ever sleep? It's amazing.
Right. And you know, that's what I think about too. Like it's nice to have something else and it's nice to have something that multiple generations can play where, you know, like that's great. Cause I went to my mom's, like, you know, she lives in like an assisted living type of thing. It's not really assisted living, more of like a retirement community type of thing. And, they were playing bocce ball.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, maybe I'll go check this out. These guys are so good.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it. So maybe I could, you know, maybe pickleball if that gets there. Maybe I'll get really good.
It's a generational thing. Like your son plays soccer, but it's very rare to have a situation where you and your son are on the same soccer team at his age and at your age.
Right.
But at pickleball, right. You definitely could play as a doubles team together. No problem.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
I am all about pickleball. I may have, just a little teaser, I may have some pickleball stories in future episodes. So please. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know what you're teasing there. And it's exciting.
It is exciting. It is exciting. We will be talking more about pickleball in the future for sure.
Yes. You know, because of this whole pickleball thing, you might actually need an entertainment lawyer. Well, how about that for a hard segue?
Well, not only may I need an entertainment lawyer, I may need a lawyer that's going to help me with a pickleball podcast. Potentially, hypothetically, maybe, but that's not necessarily what I'm teasing. But maybe, yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We may need help. Good thing we have help.
Exactly. We've got Gordon Firemark with us. Gordon, thank you for joining us today.
Hey guys, thanks for having me. And Russ, I just want to say that was a really smooth segue into the introduction. I had no idea. When I agreed to do the show, I had no idea it was an athletics show. You're talking about pickleball.
Exactly. That's how we roll here.
Do you know what pickleball is, Gordon?
I've heard about it. My favorite sport is pizza ball and ice cream ball, but
I have a melon baller. That one is pretty good too.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Gordon,
a couple of us have the cue ball thing going on.
Exactly.
Gordon, tell our audience a little bit about what you do, and you know, our lead in was very smooth by Russ, but tell us exactly what you do.
Well, as you said, I am an entertainment lawyer. I've been practicing in the field of entertainment, mainly live theater and film and television, and now digital media for about the past 30 years. And obviously the digital media podcasting and YouTubing is more recent than that. But I came out of the live theater and television industry as a production guy and went to law school and try to help creative people make the stuff that they make and get their message out and do it effectively and safely in ways that, you know, keep them from getting sued and having all kinds of headaches. And since podcasting started up, you know, I've had a podcast for about 13 years now. It's called Entertainment Law Update. And since that started, I've sort of been focusing a lot of energy on helping podcasters create and get their message out as well. So people call me the podcast lawyer.
Nice. Nice. That's a good title.
I like it.
Yeah. So that's the you know, you go right to it. Like, so I've been doing improv for years, right? For a little while, I actually did some stand-up comedy. Not very good, but some stand-up comedy. The thing that concerns me is, okay, well, there's the whole cancel culture thing, right, of being canceled. But there's also, it feels like there's more legal issue like that could come up. Where all of a sudden you're libel or slander or whichever the right term is there. All of a sudden you've got some sort of issues.
Or you slap somebody on an award ceremony.
Well, maybe, you know, that happens as well. Right, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because comedy has for a long time really been this sort of insulated space where people could say and do whatever they wanted to in the name of comedy. And, you know, the real test has always been, is it funny? And
right.
We're now into a time in the world where it isn't always okay to be funny. There are some subjects that are off limits, and there always have been. I mean, you had guys like Lenny Bruce, you know, going to jail over the things that they said, and George Carlin and the Seven Dirty Words and Richard Pryor. Yeah, exactly. There have always been things that are off limits, but the boundaries have really moved, I think, in the last probably 10 or 15 years to the point where everybody's so – I'm going to use the word butthurt about the things that are said. You know, they just get bent out of shape when anybody makes anything that even resembles a criticism, not just of themselves, but of things that might be their point of view. And audiences are willing to jump on board and wag their fingers and worse at people for things that are really just meant to be funny and humor. And you know, there's something to be said that comedians and writers and creators need to be more sensitive about people's perceptions, right, and especially racial issues and gender issues and gender identity kinds of things. But there should still be a place for comedy and fun and being able to not take ourselves too seriously. And it's sad that seems to be going away.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's sort of amplified on the stage. Yeah. For, you know, and now I'm thinking, you know, segueing once again, beautiful segue. I mean, I don't know how I'm doing this today. It must be in the coffee, but it's amplified on the stage, but it's applied to business owners, right? Like business owners, now they've got, you know, like, God, I hate to say the term Karens, but you know, you have these people that the let me speak to the manager thing, right? And all of these different things where you've got the complaining customers on Yelp, you know, the whiners that are going over there. You've got the people that you've got to deal with. But like you sort of have that same feeling like as a stand-up, right? Like it's now in the business world of like I'm being judged for everything.
Yeah.
And can I do anything?
I think a lot of that is that everybody feels more entitled to feel safe, to be protected and not have their ideas and their thoughts challenged, much less their, you know, their personal identity challenged. But, you know, that's where so much humor actually used to come from was let's challenge the status quo. Let's challenge people's ideas about politics or religion or government or sex. Mm-hmm. Or any of these kinds of things. And now, you know, everybody's, oh, that hurts my feelings. And, you know, they're looking for a law, a lawyer's or a court's judge's legislatures to do something about it. And, you know, fortunately, we live in a country in the U.S. that has a pretty robust free speech mechanism, I guess you could say, the First Amendment. And the boundaries are there for what the government can do. But the marketplace is a different story. And people are voting with their dollars and social media and TikTok and all that. I mean, not just the customers, but the workers at the Starbucks now going on TikTok and making a complaint about people are taking too long to order, or they're ordering these crazy things with too many pumps of this.
Yeah, it's gone both ways.
It's a job. Do your work and shut up and go home and have some fun.
Yeah, my daughter's a barista, so I hear those stories.
and just because I say shut up and go home and have some fun doesn't mean I don't sympathize, but since when is everything supposed to just be smooth sailing and easy in life? Sometimes the things that really make a character are the things that we are challenged by. So
I think as an attorney, my question to you is, like, how do you deal with this culture of entitlement? Because as you were talking about in the business situation where managers may challenge, you know, the ideas of, you know, somebody on their team or somebody within the company.
Yeah.
And it's a legitimate challenge, but the person's feelings get hurt and they think it's some type of discrimination, or they're getting treated differently than another person whose ideas were taken more seriously. Like, as an attorney, how do you help businesses in that type of situation, help managers?
Well, you know, I don't do work in the employment area very much, and so I don't end up counseling people on that regard very much. But, you know, really it comes down to companies, businesses, and the people who run them really need to understand what the law says and where it is evolving and what the changes mean for them in their particular context. And so when we find ourselves in an arena where gender pronouns are now considered to be offensive when they're used wrong, even if it's not rising to a level of legal culpability for calling a they, a she, or something like that, it's creating an environment that I guess the main thing is just education. The employers, managers need to know what's changing, what the boundaries are. You can't just always expect that we'll just keep doing it the way we've always done it. And so the lawyers come into play in hopefully letting our clients know before it becomes a legal issue. But often as not, you don't find out it's a thing until someone gets those bent out of shape and starts a suit.
And I think there's a lot of it is just trust. Like trust in your managers and supervisors that it's not a racial, gender, it's not any type of discrimination. It's strictly business. And I think that trust comes with, you know, a track record of being a fair manager. And I think once, you know, a manager leadership, you know, has built that reputation of, you know, really being inclusive and understanding and listening and really just making business decisions, you know, those concerns kind of go away about, you know, opening themselves up for some type of a lawsuit. And I think it is something like you're saying, it's a conscious effort of just proving yourself that, you know, this is the culture that we have at our company.
Yeah. Well, also I think what has become necessary is a little different, and that is that we have to document those business decisions. We have to be able to show it was a business decision. It wasn't motivated by my attitude about your sexuality or your gender choice, your gender identity, or you know, your choice of friends or politics or those kinds of things, because the rules are we're not supposed to discriminate on the basis of these things. So if you're making a business decision to terminate somebody or to change, you know, someone's work schedule or how, you know, you better be able to show why it was necessary from a purely business standpoint without regard to those other things. And so I think it really does put an uncomfortable onus on small businesses in particular, but managers at all levels to sort of have to keep a running record of all their thinking and business decision-making, which didn't used to be the case. It used to be, you know, we would give owners, managers, sort of the benefit of the doubt. There is something called the business judgment rule when you're dealing with, you know, high-level business decisions about a direction a company should go or those kinds of things. And as long as you could show that the managers and owners and the board acted with sound business judgment. They, you know, they did reasonable decision making. It would be okay. But there's so many more factors that come into what's reasonable now.
Yeah.
And that's really the issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's nice. Like, there's a lot of podcasts that talk about this stuff. We've talked about it a bunch on this podcast. And I think one of the things too is, you know, it's like when you're chatting with people, get to know them, you know, and ask permission if things are okay. So actually, Gordon, I got to ask you, can I call you my bald brother?
Sure.
Okay, perfect. Good.
Just don't call me late for dinner is the joke.
Right? All right, we're going to take a short break here. And Greg and I will be back with more with my bald brother, Gordon, here. Thanks for listening and subscribing to DIY for Business, a part of the Best Business Network and Electricast Media. If you want to check out other fine podcasts like this, head over to thebestbusinessnetwork.com. Check it out. There's some great podcasts over there. Leadership and, you know, I was listening to Polly's podcast the other day, and I hear she's got a new one coming out too. I'm just going to say that. I'm going to plant that seed.
Yes.
But I've actually also been listening to her book, which is available on Scribd. As is John's book. I'm trying to remember the name of his book now, the leadership book. Sorry, John, I've got it queued up, but I'll put a link to it in the description. How about that? I've got good segues today. I don't have good book retention, and my Scribd app just crashed, so I can't see what it is. All right. So we're talking about entertainment law. We're talking about law in general, and we've got the podcast lawyer with us. And have we done anything so far that's going to get us sued? Are we okay?
Not that I can. Yes, you're okay. I don't think there's been any.
Okay, good.
Major gaffes. So I don't know where that music you're playing is coming from, but I'm
not following the rules there.
You had to go there, Gordon.
Oh, man.
That's one of the most common issues for content creators is they're using stuff that belongs to other people, sometimes without even really thinking about whether that's okay and whether what they have to do to clear it. And as an entertainment and media lawyer, that's really one of the big roles that I take is helping people clear the rights to the stuff that they're using. And, you know, it's easy you're using, I think, what sounds like library music that you've gotten from somewhere that it's okay to use it in this context. But the running joke among those of us that do this work in the law in podcasting is everybody wants to use the opening riff from AC/DC's Back in Black. I'm not even going to sing it because that would involve.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't get us in trouble.
Right.
And I would be singing, which is a bad idea in the first place. So, so anyway, you know, but the point is that someone wrote that song. And that person owns a copyright in the composition that they made. And someone else made a recording of that song. And they own the recording. And those are two copyrighted works that need to be licensed or cleared in order to be used. Unless, you know, there are certain exceptions and everybody throws around those terms. But, you know, just like you don't build your house on somebody else's land. You don't.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people don't think about that. Like I actually had an instance at one point where I was putting a video together for somebody. I enjoy doing video editing. And somebody, the person that I was talking to was a business owner. And they're like, just use this music. Like, no, we have to buy music for this. We can't just use anything. Cause I mean, I used to work in radio, so I'm familiar with all the laws and rules. The other day I was talking to somebody. Who actually is a stand-up comedian. And she said, I hate when people come up to just tell me, you know, like, oh, you're a stand-up comedian. Great. Tell me a joke. It's like, I'm not a trick pony. Like, what do you do? Oh, you build fences? Go build me a fence.
You're a doctor? Will you operate on my heart?
Yeah. Take this mole out. You know, like what? I mean, I don't think a lot of people realize that. And there are a lot of issues with that. And the demand for business owners now is to create a lot of content, right? Like you've got, like you mentioned earlier, you've got TikTok, you've got all these different, you know, Instagram and all these different social media things that they have to go now create for. What can they do to be safe with this? Like just some quick tips on being safe on creating content for their business. Oh, John, I mean, Gordon, we lost you. Lost audio.
Sorry, I had muted my mic so I could cough and clear my throat. Anyway, so to answer your question, I think that, you know, knowing what I was talking about earlier about just understanding that the act of authorship imparts some property rights in the material that one creates. And so if you're going to use something that isn't your original work, you've got to ask the questions, where does this come from and how do I get the permission or the rights to do it? Now, some of the platforms, TikTok and YouTube, are making a fairly large catalogs of music and things like that available for use for free. They're sort of handling the payments and those kinds of things. But if you're making a commercial for your business or you're doing a you know, an ad on Facebook or something like that, you've got to think about these issues before you post it online and risk it getting taken down or worse yet getting sued, those kinds of things. So the content side of it, yeah, that's a real challenge. And I guess the best advice is make it yourself. If you know that you're doing original work, you're on the safest possible ground. But as you said, people coming out of, you know, a lifetime of listening to the radio, they've just figured, oh, I'll just run a little music and mm-hmm. and then have it go under my voice before I finish, you know, introducing whatever I'm talking. And unfortunately, that piece of music isn't cleared and the consequences can be really dire.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
What are some of the rules when it comes to images? Because, you know, there's so much social media, especially TikTok, Instagram, where it's reels, it's stories, and, you know, people are out on the street filming themselves talking, but there's people in the background and, you know, you can see their faces. What are the rules of, you know, when you can use it, when you can't use it, when you have to get their permission?
Yeah. How much time do we have?
I know. That's a big one. That's a big one.
You know, I mean, the basic rule is if you're making your own thing, whatever it is, a video, a reel, a TikTok or whatever, and you're featuring, again, other people's stuff, which could be their personality rights, their right of privacy is being intruded upon. You know, if you're shooting it in somebody's backyard or something like that, there can be some issues. And certainly you want to worry about libel and slander. If you're saying things about other people, make sure it's true. Make sure it's not harmful to reputation. If it's harmful to reputation, absolutely make sure it's true, because you don't want to be sued for libel. But, you know, your scenario out on the street where you're just capturing people walking by in the background or even, you know, interacting with them, people don't have an expectation of privacy when they're out in a really public place, you know, on a city street or a sidewalk or in a park or something like that. Where it becomes a weird challenge is when you're in a mall, which is actually private property. Yes, it's open to the public, but people do have a different expectation or might have a different expectation about whether they're being filmed and recorded and whether that stuff is going to be available to the whole outside world. It's sort of, you know, how they behave may be governed by their expectations. They may do things in that setting that they wouldn't do if they were standing in the public park or something like that. So, you know, best case scenario is make sure you have consent from people who are appearing in your videos or on your podcast recordings or whatever else you're doing. But the next best case is do it out in public where they don't have that expectation of privacy.
Right. Yeah, I actually learned that mall thing the hard way.
Yeah.
When I was working in radio, we did this, I don't know, it was some bit for the morning show and they had me go out and I had to pick a place where there was a bunch of people.
Yep.
So I went into an indoor mall and the bit became me getting kicked out of the mall. I wish I had tape on this. I don't, but I was actually escorted out by security, and they threatened to call the police on me. And all this stuff was on tape because it was private property as well. So that's another thing you got to watch out for is when you're, you know, entering into these mall areas, you're entering into a private area. And you can't exactly record there. It just doesn't work.
You never did the thing with the turkeys from the helicopter over the.
Oh yeah, we did not do that because turkeys don't fly as we learned.
As God is my witness,
don't do the turkey drop.
Oh man,
some portion of the audience will get that joke.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we actually should probably take another break here. We got plenty of other areas where we can chat about, but we'll take a short break here on DIY for Business. And I'll remind you, if you're listening, you're first of all consenting to listen, but also I think that also means that you're consenting to leave a review on whatever platform you're listening on. So go do that. We'll be back in a couple minutes here with more DIY for Business.
Thanks for coming back to DIY for Business with Russ and Greg. Find us on thebestbusinessnetwork.com. Find us on electricast.com. You're going to find so many great podcasts on that show. And speaking of podcasts, we have Gordon Firemark. He is the podcast lawyer. And, you know, Gordon, I was looking at your website and you have so many great resources for podcasters. And I was so happy that you're coming on the show because I believe that a lot of podcasters out there are not really paying attention to the legal side of what they're doing. You know, we talked a little bit about the content part of it, but as far as like, you know, forms and, you know, getting consent forms for guests and all those types of things, talk a little bit about what your website provides because it's a fantastic resource for podcasters.
Well, thank you. You know, as a thought leader in the space, as a lawyer who helps creators, you know, I really do want people to be armed with as much information as possible. So I try to make some of it available for free and some of it, I try to make it all, you know, affordable. Not everybody wants to or can afford to hire a lawyer to do the stuff for them. And so I've created a bunch of resources that folks who are more in that do-it-yourself mode, either by necessity or by choice, can access. And so
and
the first thing I say
is on DIY for Business because
you know, but people get intimidated by the idea of DIY when it comes to the law and doing legal stuff. And so my real goal has been to demystify and de-scarify some of that stuff, make it a little more accessible. So my first crusade really is everybody who has guests on a podcast really should have their guests sign, and by sign, I mean digitally or whatever, a release form that basically gives the podcaster consent to make the recording and to publish the recording without any pre-publication review or need to compensate the guest or those kinds of things. And it's a relatively simple release, and I make it available for free at podcastrelease.com. The rest of the stuff that I offer, and I have some checklists and other kinds of stuff available as well, but the rest of the stuff that I offer, legal forms and templates for the co-host relationship. I call it a podcast prenup. When two or more people are getting together to make a podcast, they're entering into business together. And either it's a partnership or maybe they're going to form a limited liability company or a corporation. But what's important is that they start having the conversations around issues of who's responsible for what? How do they get reimbursed for their out-of-pocket expenses? What do they get when there's a profit? And what happens if someone's not pulling their weight or somebody decides they want to leave? Or, God forbid, somebody gets hurt and disabled or dies and can't participate anymore. What happens then? Who are the owners? Who owns what? And how do they do it? And, of course, then, you know, again, God forbid, there's a podvorce. You want to have that prenup in place to deal with the, you know, who gets the house and kids kind of issues. Yeah. The podcast itself being the house and the audience, right? That's a tremendously valuable asset. So I've got a bunch of forms and templates and those kinds of things to help with all of those areas. And for the people who want a deeper dive into not just the how to do it yourself, but the what, the whys and what's that are going on underneath and behind the scenes for the forming the company entity and building the team and dealing with the intellectual property issues and monetization issues, all of those contracts. I do also have an online course called Easy Legal for Podcasters. So it's all there. You can go to GordonFiremark.com and find out about it, or ThePodcastLawyer.com will get you there too. So
nice. You just made me think of a whole other podcast genre. It's like you get two podcast hosts together and you're just counseling them.
You know, it's like, so sort of like a marriage counselor, but podcast counselor,
because it's a podcast, you'd make a podcast out of it. I'm going to write this idea down. If I have, and so, okay, I have this new idea, right? I just came up with this idea. I'm putting it out there across the world. How do I protect ideas like that? Like intellectual property becomes a little bit more difficult in this digital age as well. So how do you protect stuff like that?
Well, okay. So first off, putting it out there the way you just did, probably a big mistake if it was valuable.
Russ, it's not great of an idea. So it's okay.
Don't do it.
You know, in learning about entertainment law, we always learned about the the screenwriter who has this brilliant idea for a film, and they meet this director at a cocktail party, and they just blurt out their idea for the film. And, you know, 6 months later, the director makes the movie, you know,
right.
Sorry, you're out of luck. You gave away the idea. Ideas are not something that are protected by intellectual property law. What's protected is the way we express those ideas and embody them in a tangible form. So you got to write it down and you know, do the things. Either get a non-disclosure agreement or some kind of confidentiality promise if you're going to be disclosing information, or get it in writing, have a copyrightable work in your hands that you're sharing with people. And even then, you want them to sort of promise that they're going to do right by you if they decide they like it, because the ideas that are embodied in that script might still be stolen without permission. And the same is true for that idea for a podcast. You know, create something before you go blurting it out. Oh, and it's not too late.
So I just thought of something, Gordon, and I find this happening, and maybe you have some insight to it, but don't you notice, like, on television, or, you know, now television is everything, right? Netflix, all the streaming stuff. But when one network comes up with an idea, that, like, three other networks come up with, like, the same idea, like, the same season. It's like, okay, who leaked, or how did the same idea go to four different people? And is like, what? How does this happen?
Well, some of it is a little bit of bandwagon jumping, to be really honest. You know, Network A comes out and has a really interesting show set in a hospital emergency room. And next thing you know, you've got all three networks putting together shows that follow some aspect of medicine or police procedural, and then someone gets the idea, well, let's do a cop show,
but
let's
make it the FBI. Somebody hears about the one show, and then, like, oh, we got to do ours really quickly, or?
Got to compete, got to get something into the market to compete with that other thing, because audiences seem to be loving this month, so let's make something that they will like on our network as well. And the same is true in the podcasting space. And one of the things I think is great about podcasting is that it's low barrier to entry, makes it really easy for people to come up with something and put it out there, throw it against the wall, see if it sticks. But also, you can be very narrow in your focus. You can have a niche topic. I mean, hey, entertainment law update, right? If I get 2,000 listeners, that's a good episode, because I've got most of the entertainment lawyers out there listening. But you know, I'm providing a service, and it's valuable, and so on. The point is, you don't have to copy that other idea. You can create something that's unique to your market, your audience, and your listenership. So that's my biggest advice: is be original, be different, be distinctive, and don't worry about jumping on bandwagons. Create your own parade.
Nice. You know, it reminds me, Greg. There was a skit on. It wasn't Saturday Night Live. It was one of these other shows that came out. And this was, like, long ago. This was, like...
Wait, you mean another comedy show that was...
It was very similar. Like, yeah, exactly. It was exactly like Saturday Night Live, but just slightly different. But they had this skit where they had a commercial for a new, instead of Xerox photocopier, it was called the CBS photocopier. And what you do is you put in... They show them putting in a script of the Golden Girls, and out on the other side comes a script of the Designing Women. So that tells you when this was out, but it feels like that's a lot of what goes on in Hollywood.
Yes, indeed.
And all the creative industries, right? Totally. And it's funny too, like, some of that stuff, you know, who knows if it's like, it's not synchronicity. I can't think of the term, but like there's sometimes where just people are coming up with the same idea at the same time, you know, in different parts of the world. And it's just like, they launch it and who knows who came out with it first, but
illustrate exactly the issue is that the ideas, we don't want to take ideas out of the lexicon. We want to say, look, you can have a great idea and run with it. And the way you run with it will be different from the way someone else will run with it. And so that's what we will allow protection for, which is why Designing Women is a different show than the Golden Girls, even though it's fundamentally a very similar concept, an ensemble comedy about, with women, you know, set in one case it's a home, in the other case it's a workplace, those kind of things. And then you had friends come along and do the same thing with, you know, 30 somethings and 30 something for that matter, you know, things keep coming up. So really it comes down to the idea, there are only so many new ideas, and we've already covered them all. I mean, Shakespeare covered them all, for goodness sake.
I mean, that's why we see so many remakes today. I mean, yeah. They're just running out of good ideas. Like, oh, let's just redo it. Let's just redo it again.
What you do is you take that idea and tweak it and do something a little sideways with it.
I love what they did, because I was so annoyed by the whole Spider-Man thing. It's like, okay, we had the Tobey Maguire movies. Do we need another one? Then at the end, at this latest movie, they wrapped it all up and did it nicely, where they had it in the different, you know, universes and whatnot. And that was a whole fight between, I guess, Sony and Marvel or whatever, the different movies and all that. But I was like kind of annoyed that like they wouldn't come up with new ideas. So I'm not saying I'm anti-Spider-Man, Greg. Don't worry. I know you're big on the Marvel, and I can't mess
with that. Gordon's going to have to handle our divorce.
Exactly. I know.
DC
versus
Marvel battle.
We're okay.
We're good.
Okay. Whew. I got through that. Okay. Hey, so Gordon, we did mention your website earlier, but let's mention that one more time in case somebody failed to write it down or hear it. Let's plug away there.
And also plug your podcast.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much. I will. So the podcast is called Entertainment Law Update, entertainmentlawupdate.com. Pretty easy to find me. And I have, I've had a few other little podcasts here and there. So if you search the directories just for my name, you'll find a lot of my appearances as well. But the last name, Firemark, I'm very fortunate to have a distinctive name. So Firemark. You can go to firemark.com to find my law practice webpage, or GordonFiremark.com for sort of the products and services I was mentioning earlier. And I also have thepodcastlawyer.com. So, hopefully.
I love that you got
I'm
that.
I'm dominating the Google results.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Gordon. Really informative.
Thank you for listening, subscribing, and reviewing DIY for Business, a part of the Best Business Network and ElectriCast Media. The subjects that we cover on this podcast are selected with the goal of helping your business grow. All of the information provided is opinion-based, and we say that, for legal reasons, right? And you might want to consult a professional like Gordon to discuss your exact business situation. Greg and I want your company to succeed, and we are happy to take your questions. We would love to hear your suggestions for future episodes as well. Reach out to us by visiting our website, DIYForBusinessPodcast.com. The link is in the podcast description, so please do head over there and check that out. We thank you again for listening and reviewing and subscribing to DIY for Business, where you are not alone.
ElectriCast. Welcome to Get Real with Dr. Renee. With her extensive experience as a double CEO, therapist, and renowned treatment specialist, Dr. Calvert's approach to recovery and emotional freedom is unique and diverse. Dr. Calvert's innovative and unfiltered perspective sheds light on the importance of being human and encourages guests and listeners to get real. Joined by Bindi Hyde, producer, coach, and founder of Ethical Change Agency, on a mission to spread collective change, understanding that it starts with us. It's time to get real.
Today is working for me. Do you believe that for yourself? Hey, I'm Pastor Julie, and I want to empower you through encouragement, inviting you to my podcast, Big Truth Encouragement, where I unpack living a faith-filled life. I created my podcast for the ladies, but gentlemen, you'll gain something too. So I invite you to listen to Big Truth Encouragement on ElectriCast and any platform where you listen to your podcast.
ElectriCast.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.